ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Lights Out, and away we go on another episode of Scruffy City Sports. You might have been dreaming as Creed brought us in there, but you're not. It is Sunday, November the 26th. Happy belated Turkey Day to all those that were out there. I hope all your food was fantastic. I hope you didn't mess up any cakes, pies. I hope everything you cooked turned out perfectly well and that nothing went awry on your Thanksgiving Day. I really hope the best. I hope you had a thankful time. I hope you got to sit around, hang out with all your friends and compatriots and compadres and amigos and whatever other word you call your mates, whatever you call your friends and family. I hope you got to spend some quality time with them over the, I hope you were off. Hope you got to, whatever. I'm rambling already. We're a minute in. Ramble City. But it's okay. Today, we're going to talk about a few things near and dear to my heart. One, we're going to talk about the UT football game yesterday. Two, we are going to talk about the three basketball games since I talked to you last. I think there was three. Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We will cover the Maui Invitation that was played in Honolulu, Hawaii. And then three, where the wind takes us. Three will probably be a little recap of Formula One. And then we might do a little, what's Norm watching on TV? Maybe. We'll see. It's early and I've just started. But all of that to be said, let's do this little buffer, and then we're going to come talk football. All the small things, truth care, truth brings. Well, you got to be caught me in my feels there. But let's talk UT football. UT wrapped up its season yesterday with an 8-4. Fantastic. Everybody feels good about an 8-4 season. It's the first time we've had like back-to-back-to-back winning seasons since like the late 2000s, which I think the kids call the aughts these days. So we should all be happy and feel good about a good, solid 8-4 performance. Don't we? Do we all feel good about that? I know that I do not. I do not share that. While I'm glad we went 8-4, our one quality win was over Texas A&M. Maybe Kentucky, Texas A&M, Kentucky. Maybe that's good. Because, you know, this year we beat Florida. Oh, wait. We didn't. We got shellacked by Georgia again. And we got shellacked by Alabama. Can't say again. They did shellack us, though. We didn't score any points in the second half against that game. We didn't actually score any points in the second half against Georgia. And, oh, by the way, we didn't score any points in the second half against Missouri. So there's four games right there. So Florida beat us. We didn't look competitive. Well, I guess maybe competitive in Florida. Did not look competitive against Georgia. Did not look competitive against Alabama, unless you count the first 30 minutes of that game, which you can't. And then Missouri just shellacked boat raced us, I guess is the correct term. So I'm happy. I'm happy. Really feet forward, really a lot of progress, a lot of forward momentum from the football team. And I am so excited. I'm so excited. I guess if you take away Florida, let's say we go back in time. I've got my little Hermione magic clock thing and I can spin and go back in time and be at several places at once. And we beat Florida and then we're 9-3. Then I might not be as upset, but then I probably would still be upset because again, we didn't show up. We showed up for the first half of the Alabama game, didn't show up for Georgia and got shellacked by Missouri. Now, if we would have been competitive in Missouri and lost that game, I probably still wouldn't feel as bad. Georgia's really good. They've won like 29 football games in a row, probably going to contend for a national championship again this year. That's fine, unless Alabama beats them. But who, Norm, are you going to cheer for Alabama in the SEC? No, I'm hoping that that game gets canceled and it just doesn't happen. I'm not cheering for Georgia and I'm not cheering for Alabama in the SEC championship game next week. I'm just not. I'm going to be on the sideline and hope that everyone has a great game and it finishes 0-0. Just that's how I can't cheer for either one of those teams. It's not, I can't do it. It's impossible. So I guess saying a lot here to say that Josh Heupel in his presser yesterday said that, you know, he's not going to tell the media how to feel. He's really proud of his kids. They fought, and I am too. There's a lot of competitive edge. I mean, it looked like some UFC fights there recently with the brouhaha yesterday. And I just, I'm conflicted. I've told you all season that I should not count this year's team against last year's team. But in my opinion, and this is my podcast, so it's my opinion, I just feel like we regressed as a football team throughout the entire year. I think our defense started off really strong, and then they regressed. I don't know if there was some locker room drama. I don't know what transpired. I have no idea. I don't have a crystal ball. I cannot read. You know, I don't have my magic eight ball with me. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there, but I think it just leaves kind of a sour taste in my mouth where I'm sure there's a word for being happy and sad all the time. I think one of my podcast titles is actually this. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I'm glad. I'm happy for them. I'm happy we're 8-4. Our losses this year were so bad in like non-competitive losses that I think that is what kind of it leaves a little in my mind, a little going forward with Josh Heupel. And I love Josh Heupel. He has corrected the ship. You've heard me talk about this. I love the man. Him and Tony Vitello. And let's throw Rick Barnes in there. We'll get to Rick Barnes soon enough. But those three guys right now, we are an everything school. That's kind of what we've termed it here recently. And I understand we didn't beat Alabama. I understand we didn't beat Georgia. And I understand we didn't beat Florida. That are our three main rivals as far as UT football goes. And we didn't beat them this year. Nor did we not beat him. We didn't look competitive in those games. But I've told you all year long that this was kind of a weird in-between year. We stuck with JoJo the Cannon all season long. Listen, I'm glad he went out yesterday and balled out and had like six touchdown passes between passing and running the football. But let's be honest with ourselves. Vanderbilt is ranked in the bottom, like the bottom five schools in all of Division I, like all 130, whatever, one, two, three, whatever. However many schools are in Division I, they're at the bottom of it. So this is like back in the day when I played NCAA football on my Xbox, and I had it on rookie, and it's like 43-0. And then you're like, let's just bring in all the third string. That is essentially who we played yesterday. So while it's great, he padded his stats and maybe he's going to get drafted in the NFL. I'm sure somebody's going to pick him up and give him a shot. I just don't care. I really don't. I'm glad he threw for like 350 yards, all that. I just don't care. Vanderbilt is a crap team. They're horrible. I don't know why they're in the SEC. I say kick them out and bring in Georgia Tech. That's Norm's. I'll bring Georgia Tech back to the SEC. I want them back. I want the Peabody School over there in Vanderbilt. I want them gone. Send them somewhere else. They're not competitive in baseball anymore. They are for sure not competitive in football. They used to be okay in basketball, not anymore. Get them out. Get them out. We're not talking about like disc golf. We're not talking about bowling championships, rowing, equestrian, whatever Vanderbilt does over there at a high level. I don't want them in the SEC. This is SEC. It means more. It does not mean more to Vanderbilt. They're just getting their paycheck once a month from the SEC headquarters in Birmingham saying, thank you very much. We'll see you next year. Vanderbilt, who just lost 10 games in a row, by the way, as their football program. They don't need to be in the SEC. They don't. They don't work. Tim Corbin over there in his baseball program, they used to be pretty good. And then they had that whole where's the sticker. And I actually thought yesterday during the brouhaha that that's what it was all about. We're looking for Mike Honcho's sticker on his bat, and we just had a little kerfunkle. I didn't see Tony Vitello on the sidelines. I'm sure he was yelling at what's his name? Kirby Lee. I can't think of their coach's name. They're looking for that sticker, and that's why everybody got mad. I don't know. But I could care less. I mean, I'm glad we won. That's fantastic. Put a little bow on the season, but it's Vanderbilt, everyone. No one cares. We should shellack Vanderbilt from now on until forever. It's just like Kentucky. It is a birthright to you come to the University of Tennessee, you're going to beat Vandy and Kentucky. And when you don't beat Vandy and Kentucky, bad things usually happen to you as a football coach. There's history out there. I could tell you, but I'm not going to. But it's usually never a good thing when you lose to Vanderbilt and or Kentucky. Just going to say it out loud. So I'm glad Norm's thoughts on the game is great, whatever. I think Joe played too long. Have no idea why he's playing all the way through the third quarter. We were padding stats for Joe. We're trying to get him an NFL contract. I understand. I get it. I'm more upset that Gadsden Moore, who came up here and transferred, got to play one series. Nico should have been playing all year long, but he didn't. I think John Adams has said it best. And if you don't read John Adams' article, he is not, he's a Tennessee fan, but he's not really. I guess he's an opinion. I don't know how you would classify him. I used to be really turned off from John Adams way back in the day when he was on State Run Radio. And if you don't hear my fascination with State Run Radio, that's a, probably a whole podcast topic in and of itself. But he has a lot of oddball thoughts on Tennessee that I've really grown to love as I've gotten older and more curmudgeonite norm. And I just think that he said it best, that you need to have a backup quarterback to be prepared. I mean, you're always one play away from your starting quarterback going down. We saw that last year with Hendon Hooker. Just call anybody at Florida State. They will say the same thing. And I just feel like it was robbed of him. And what I don't really want to have happen is, you know, next year we go out and Nico looks like garbage, which I really don't think he did. I think if you saw that play yesterday where he should have gotten a horse collar and drug down from behind and he escaped it, he showed more to me in that one play than Joe Milton has shown running the football all year long. I'm not going to harp anymore on Joe. I really hope that he decides he does not want to play in the ball game so we can see Nico and see what this offense could have been all season long. And I'm not saying that Nico could have won us a game or he could have finished better than 8-4. I just feel like my biggest question is, what is Joe showing us that Nico didn't? I don't understand. You know, I have a baseball background and I understand the, you know, like the Ben Joyces of the world, the fireman from a year or two ago in baseball, you know, he can throw that 105 stuff, but he has no control. It's the major leagues. It's, what is it, Vince Vaughn? It's not Vince Vaughn. Ricky Vaughn. From that, like he has no control and he's got to hone it in, but somebody's always going to take a chance on that just because he can throw the ball 90 yards. I really don't care if he can throw the ball 90 yards. I can't, and I will say that gladly right now. I can't do it. Again, I've preached to you, high school baseball, the highest level of baseball you can play, I played in, and I don't have an ounce of the talent that kid has. He's just not an SEC quarterback to me. I wish him nothing but the best. I hope he prospers. I hope he makes millions and billions of dollars doing whatever he wants to. Just do not see it transitioning to the next level. Personally, I hope I have to come back on here, you know, in April when they do the draft and he's picked number one overall. And I'm like, whoa, I guess whoever, you know, the Cardinals or whoever's going to pick the first pick, Norm clearly got it wrong. But I wish we would have saw more of Nico. I hope he gets to play in the bowl game. We will know next Sunday night, I believe, is the bowl selection show on ESPN or whatever it's going to be. So I guess in a week or so, we'll come back and see where we're going. If it's Florida, if it's Memphis, if it's Nashville, if it's wherever Tennessee gets to go play in a bowl game, I hope that we have opt-outs if they don't want to play, and I'm not going to judge you for that. If we, you know, whatever. I'm just looking forward to it. One more game, got a chance to go 9-4 on the season, which would be fantastic. I will try to tone down my negativity for the bowl game, but, all that said, it's a great season. I wish we would have been more competitive in a few games, four particular games, or if we would have beat Florida. I think I might have been a little less upset than I am now, but hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles, and it is what it is. So, with all that being said, let's transition over to the basketball after this little buffer while I get a drink. Drive me crazy. One look puts the rhythm in my head. Sorry, I've got a playlist going today, and if we're going to be honest with ourselves, I'm excited about it. I'm just glad football's over. If you want me to be really honest with it, I'm glad. I mean, I love football. I love college football, but this, for whatever reason, this Tennessee football team has just really taken it out of me this year. And I really don't know why. I don't know if it's because I was just over it or I don't know. But all that to say, Tennessee, the basketball boys, the Rick Barnes Barnesinators, the Barnstormers. I don't really know what to call that basketball team, but we'll call it the Rick Barnes basketball program. Flew over to Hawaii, halfway across the world, to play in the Maui Invitational, which was not played in Maui because, you know, they were on fire there for a long time. And structurally, they couldn't have the basketball tournament over there. We'll say that it was a lot of people on ESPN And other places said that it was, you know, strength of schedule, the best teams of the land. Lots of teams in the top 10 were playing in it. Kansas, number one. Purdue, the Boilermakers, number two. Tennessee obviously played both of those teams, and we'll talk about it. Tennessee played three games. They went 1-2 on the week. Norm, 1-2? Oh, I thought you told us. Listen. I told you. They played Kansas and Purdue. The one game they did win, I thought they looked fantastic. They played the other orange team, the Orange Men of Syracuse, and they won that game 73-56. Never, it was kind of close there toward the end of the game. We won't talk about it. High scores, if you want to see it, was Dalton Knecht. He had 17 and essentially didn't play much in the second half, so that was exciting. Triple J, my man, Josiah Jordan James, he had 15, and then Jonas Adu had 14 in that game. Let's transition over to the second game, which was against the number two team in the land, Purdue, the Boilermakers. And this is where I heard a lot of flack, a lot of negativity and hatred toward Rick Barnes. Tennessee ended up losing this game by four. It was 67-71, Purdue. And I just felt like, and I've talked about this last year, if you go look at Will Warren on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, he's got fantastic Substack where he does the deepest of deep dives. I mean, this man, I mean, you don't even talk about granular. Like, he is just, covers it all. Like, paragraphs on paragraphs on paragraphs. You think I can talk a lot? This man can top a lot and put a lot into things. And it's a great read. I think it's Substack's like $20 a year or something like that. Highly encourage it. I will link it in the description down below if you feel fit to jump in there and get into the basketball waters. It's helped me out analytically a little. I still can't really talk about basketball that much. But I just felt like a lot of the shots were not falling for Tennessee. I felt like we were extremely competitive in this game. The one downfall, Dalton Knecht and Jordan Ganey both led us in scoring with 16 and 15 respectively. But essentially no one else on the team decided they needed to play basketball that day. So it was really our entire offense was ran through those guys. Some points of interest, Ziggy Smalls. Now, granted, I love Zakai Ziegler. He is everything. He is, you know, when they say the dog in him, that really we should change it to the Zakai in him, because he embodies everything that I love so much about UT sports. And I think Joe Milton could learn a lot from him. He's just coming back from an ACL surgery. He's got, you know, he's not got to build up his strength. He only had 5 points. Norm, why are you telling me this? I just feel like the fan base is being a little hard on the guy, a little hard. Give him some time. Get him some rest. These guys did play 3 games in 3 days over there, forever, half a world away from Knoxville. And I'm not going to be upset. Early games, listen, when you lose to the number one and number two teams, it's only going to build your strength of schedule. It's only going to help you down the road in March when you play those more meaningful basketball games. Now, listen, if we have to play Purdue and Kansas again down the road after we've went through the gauntlet of the SEC schedule, I think we'll be more better prepared. Rick Barnes is not he's a great coach. He's not a great in-game manager or an in-game coach. And I feel like the Bill Selfs of the world are much better at that. And they're just always going to out-coach Rick Barnes in the heat of the moment. All that being said, I'm fine with us dropping 2 games over there. I am. We're on the national spotlight. Dalton Knecht shined. The highlight in game when we did kind of get shellacked. I feel like we got shellacked. We lost by 9 to Kansas, and I don't feel like we were ever really close and in that game. But in the Kansas game, Vesco finally came back. He broke out of his slumber. We saw Santiago Vescovi back on the big stage again. The lights were bright for him. He was throwing the ping pong ball in the basket or the tennis ball in the basket, whatever the analogy is for basketball. I was glad to see that he was back and in good form. So I think building on that, I'm not worried. I will say that Tuesday night, we play the UNC Tar Heels over there in Tar Heel Tobacco Road country. And I think a win there. And I forget all about the last 2 games. That is, I really, really, really want us to hang like 10 to 12. Well, I want us to win by 10 to 12 points against North Carolina. That's where Norm's at. That's what I'm. This is the clarion call to Rick Barnes, because I know you're listening. Please go out there and beat the Tar Heels by like 10 to 12, and I'll be a happy camper, and everything will be right in the world. Saying all that, next week I will tell you there's only one game next week for the Vols, and then I think the following week we get back on the 2 games a week schedule. So we will cover that game next week as it happens. There won't be a football game to cover, so next week, alluding to it, We're going to do a little deep dive in some pop culture stuff. So pull up your Oreos, go get you a massage, whatever you need to do for next week's podcast, because it will be pop culture heavy. And as I say that, we're going to do a little transition music, and then I'm going to tell you some shows that I think you should watch, a little snippet, a little sprinkle, a little mouge-bouge, as they would say in the food industry, a little teaser for what we're going to talk about next week. So we're just one little cue music, and then we're going to hit some shows and then sing, and that'll be it.
Honey, why you calling me so late?
Oh, hinder lips of an angel. Gosh. What are we going to talk about? Oh, I'm going to give you some shows. Okay, so what's Norm watching? I need to get up some fancy post-production, like, what's Norm watching? Da-da-da. But really quickly, I will tell you some new TV shows that have come out recently that I think are worth your time. Do you have Apple TV? Yes, no, maybe so. I think you should get it. I think it's one of the best bangs for your buck as far as streaming services go. Norm, what do I need to watch on Apple TV? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Monarch, which is essentially the spinoff TV show of the recent King Kong and Godzilla. They're finally going to get together. They've on a team. There's been several movies, and now they're boom, bang, boom, Apple TV TV. Apple, I don't even know what Apple's TV streams are. I think it's Apple Plus. There's three or four episodes of that. I highly, highly recommend you to watch it. It's really good. If you have never seen the movies and don't care anything about Godzilla or King Kong, they give you the backstory. It's fine. We've got Kurt and Wyatt Russell leading the show and some other people. It's good. Three episodes. Apple TV does one thing great in there. It's visually stunning and spectacular. Marvel, are you listening? Maybe you should watch some of their TV shows, Marvel, and see what like decent CGI looks like on television. Just saying, just throwing it out there. But I think that's worth your time. Another show that just recently came out is Fargo Season 5. Now, I'm going to be honest here. The first several seasons of Fargo I thought were really good. I did not watch Chris Rock? Or I don't know. The season 4 went a little off the rails for me. I'm going to be honest, it was fine. Was not as good as the other seasons. But season 5 has got our good friend from Ted Lasso, Juno Temple, which I am losing her name on the show. But it wasn't Rebecca. It was the other blonde-headed girl. Anyway, it's escaping me. I'm not going to write. But we've got two episodes of that. And so far, it's really good. I encourage you, if you have Hulu or FX, you can watch two of those shows. 2 hours of your time, boom, bang. It's one of the Coen brothers now. I think it's Ethan Coen and someone else, so it's not both Coen brothers, but it's worth your time. Please, 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 go watch that. If it's one of Norm's favorite genres, it's where nothing happens, dialogue heavy, and dark TV shows. How I like my coffee, dark. It's how I like my TV shows, dark, dark. Please go watch it. You'll thank me later. I promise. Two episodes. I think they come out on Tuesday or Wednesday nights, so you can catch the next one next week. All right. So there's two. I've given you Monarch and I've given you Fargo. Now, it would not be without me to suggest some type of something on Netflix. Are you ready? I'm going to give you one. Now, just listen. Listen, I know you all know that I love my anime and Asian TV shows. I'm sorry. It is quality shows. Now, this one is new to Netflix. It's been around for a couple weeks now. It's called Blue-Eyed Samurai. Norm, some people have already checked out. I get that. I understand. Listen. I love my Asian TV shows, and I love my cartoons, adult cartoons, anime. This show is about it's about a blue-eyed samurai, which there's lots of twists and turns. There's a lot of derogatory things that are said, but it is some of the best. I mean, even if this was like, I wouldn't even categorize it as anime. It's just like a drama with lots of like, it would be like the anime version of a Quentin Tarantino movie. That is the perfect way to describe this. Actually, it just came to me. Imagine Kill Bill got together in an anime form and it's just as blood, guts, and gory as a Tarantino. That is the perfect way to describe this. It is fantastic. If you don't like anime and you're looking for something and you're like, oh, I don't know about that, I would try this. Just give it an episode or two, and I promise, promise you'll really, really like it. Last but not least, so I've given you something on Apple TV. I've given you something on Hulu. I've given you something on Netflix. How about Amazon Prime? You ready? Let's give you an Amazon Prime one. You ready? Bosch Legacy. Now, I am a big fan of the actual show Bosch that was an Amazon product. And then I don't know what transpired, but it's no longer an Amazon product. And we have a new spinoff, which has all the same characters from the first show, but it's now under Freevee, which used to be IMDb TV. But anyway, it's on Amazon. Bosch Legacy. We're on the second season. It's really good. It's a slow burn crime drama. Good cop, bad cop. He's not a good cop, but he does the right thing. I'd encourage you to watch that. I was about to say listen to it, but please watch that if that sounds like something you would enjoy. I think it is. I think you would really enjoy that. I mean, I do. So if you don't like the shows I like that I'm recommending you, just, you know, maybe you can watch The British Bake Off, or maybe you're more of a Keeping Up the Kardashians person, or maybe you like The Challenge. Maybe reality TV is more your jam. I'm not a reality TV guy. I can't do the Love is Blinds. I have watched those. I'm not a Bachelor person. I'm not a Keeping Up with Kim K person. That's not my TV, but hey, I'm not here to judge what you watch. I'm here to tell you what I think you could watch and maybe enjoy, and that's just what I gave you. So, all that to say, wrap it up, pretty little bow, before we sing. I love each and every one of you. I'm so thankful that you choose to spend, you know, 30-ish minutes with me weekly on this podcast, and I've said it before, I wouldn't do it if you listened, and I really wouldn't because it's my weekly therapy, but I do it for, you know, some people out there that listen, I guess. But other than that, Tennessee, great season, 8-4. Basketball team's off to doing great things. Did drop a couple in Hawaii to the number one and number two team in all the land. Remember that, everybody, when you're out there being keyboard warrior on me. And that's it. Now, I love you. I hope you have a fantastic week, whatever's going on your journey this week. Remember to spin it however you want to spin it. The sun. However, find your silver lining with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. Fantastic movie, by the way. Find your silver lining in whatever is happening to you this week, and we will talk to you next week. Hang on for just a minute. If you want to see me. If you want to hear me sing a song in a minute, please hang on. If not, you know, it's fine. I'm not going to be upset if you leave. But I will talk to each and every one of you next week. Love you. Goodbye.
Whoa, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time, and time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine? I need your love. Speed your love to me. Lonely's rivers flow to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Lonely's riverside, wait for me. I'll be coming home, wait for me. Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered your touch, a long, lonely time.
And time goes by so slowly, and time do so much for you. Talk about it in a show. I mean, heavenly days. The Righteous Brothers, Unchained Melody. I just, boy. I mean, I don't even really want to stop after you've done that. I mean, when you do that, like, how is it supposed to stop when you do that? I think the only right thing to do, would be to start this. Don't you think?
Close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips.
She's lost it, Mav.
There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it,
baby.
But baby, baby, I know it. You've lost the love and feeling. Whoa, that love and feeling. You lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa.
I'm sorry, everyone. I got my feels, and we did a song and a half today, and I'm so sorry. I'm actually not sorry. You know what? Deal with it. Deal with it. I love each and every one of you. If you made it this far, I'm going to send you a big virtual hug. It's one of those big two-arm bear grab hugs. Love each and every one of you. Have a fantastic week, no matter what your week holds. I promise. It's worth it. It'll make you a better person. I love each and every one of you. Now go get you one of those red Oreos, and I'll talk to you next week.